Have you ever heard of food prepping? This is a practice that I used to perform back in the day. It saved me a lot of time, a lot of headaches, and just made my life easier at large. The fun fact is today there is a service that actually offers this whole food prepping. Only they offer it to families, to people who have food preferences, special dietitional requirements. So today I'm going to be speaking with Sarah Blackcharm. I know the name is totally cool. Sarah herself comes from a family with many kids, and growing up, she never really enjoyed the food that her family made her, so she just got up and started cooking. Today she has a fully furnished kitchen where she offers a food prepping service. Part of her service includes also a nutritionist to really tailor make the prepping for each person. People all around the world, also people in Israel, also yeshiva boys and seminary girls. It's really just designed to make your life easier, whoever you are. So here she is, Sarah.
Oh, hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah, tell us a little bit about what is the service that you offer?
So together with our nutritionist, Judy, we build food plans for people according to what they want, what they need, and we send them food on a regular basis, a few times a week or once a week, a few meals a week, and then we follow up with them and see how they're feeling. We read their blood tests. We adapt all of their meals according to what they would love to eat and what they can eat.
Yeah.
And I love doing this. This is like a dream come true.
It's incredible. Right, because food is a celebration. Food is something that you should celebrate and you should be happy eating. And I mean, we're here in Efrat, and there are so many Anglo families. And I kind of feel like with Anglo families, it's super... there's such high awareness to different food sensitivities. Right. So I'm guessing that, like, is your main client like someone who has food sensitivities?
The majority is, not all of them are from Efrat. We have clients in Jerusalem, in Ranana, in Tel Aviv. But the majority is people who have either a chronic disease or food sensitivities or allergies. Mm-hmm. We have people coming from abroad who come for yeshiva or gap year or just a visit.
Right.
And have allergies mostly to sesame, and Israel is the country of sesame. So they're very limited. And in order to make their experience in Israel perfect, the food comes in very strongly.
Yeah.
And we're happy to provide those services.
That's incredible. I think that's like it's such a big chunk of our lives, eating, you know. And as a new mom, for me at least, like whenever I eat, like I don't really put so much thought into what I'm gonna eat, how much I'm gonna eat.
Yeah.
And right before we came out here, I kind of like saw the kitchen happening in here, and I was so impressed to see, like, you have, first of all, it's a huge kitchen, like in my standards, it's a huge.
Thank you.
What, like how many, you must have like 5 ovens in there?
We have 2 ovens,
mm-hmm.
Very big ones. It's like 10 tray ovens.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 11 refrigerators.
Whoa.
If not more, but we have a dairy and meat kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and we have just we did and are working with the regulations of the health ministry, so this was the requirement. And when I first started this, it was 3.5 years ago. It was during COVID. I was working from home, and I said I'll try it out. So I hired Judy. And
the nutritionist.
Yes. And we started doing this, and we just got very busy very quickly. I've always been kosher. I had a teuda from my home kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year later, the Ministry of Religion came up to me and the mashgiach, and they said, well, it's time to eliminate all food businesses, home-based kashrut. They were the only ones in Efrat who were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to stop it. So it was time for me to make a decision, either to separate my home kitchen into like my basement,
mm-hmm.
For the business to operate separately, or
go fully fledged.
Yep.
So I guess that's what you're doing now.
So yeah, I went into the journey of my life.
Wow.
Very expensive, yeah. But you know, it's very worth it. We're starting to see results now.
Wow. And this is like, what, 4 years into it?
This is almost 4 years into it. We moved into this kitchen almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took time. But it's very legit and very kosher.
It looks very legit. Yeah, I guess so. I just came in and then I saw all these different I smelled these different flavors and I saw these different delicious looking foods. And then you have the nutritionist Judy weighing them.
Yeah.
And then you have the chef walking around and it feels like such a feeling of productivity and doing. It's like you take it really seriously.
Yeah,
we
do, because first of all, I started my career by saying, you know, there's a stigma about kosher food. It's not good. It doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
And then I went and I got more involved with the healthy food. And there's the same stigma. Healthy food. It's not good.
Mm.
And there's no reason for that.
Right.
There are people that are very, very limited in their diet. And we are all the kosher keeping world.
Yeah.
Are limited anyways. But there's absolutely no reason to not enjoy our food, to rebuild our relationship with food, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Nutrition has a very big impact on everything in our body.
On everything.
Soul and
on everything.
Liveliness.
Yeah.
So
I was just speaking with Lauren Allen, who is a nutritionist that specializes in women's fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And she was describing to me her and her own journey. She was able to conceive naturally just through changing her diet around.
Yep.
So, and it's really similar to what you're saying, how when you start working with a client, you get them to do blood tests, you look into the different blood types, and then you give them a whole diet. And I remember you were telling me that the way you start with a client for the first time is you have first a meeting with them,
right?
And you go through all their food sensitivities and what they like and what they don't like, and then it's first you and Judy, and then you kind of come up with a menu yourself and you go back and forth. Like, it seems like such a process, such a hand-picked product in the end for each client.
Yes. So most of my career, I've traveled the world as a kosher personal chef.
So cool. I love that, by the way.
Yeah, I loved it too. And I still love it.
You went to Bali once.
Yes, I rode an elephant and that was that's one
that's
of my
climax,
favorite,
riding
favorite
an elephant.
Animals. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Elephants are great.
Yeah. Where were we?
So you're telling me about how you started both going traveling and then you started, that's how you started out.
Right.
Well, when was the first time that you started doing this for other people?
When was the first time? It was, wow. Since I started baking in my parents' kitchen.
Yeah.
And my brother just loved the way I made pasta for him.
Hmm.
He would beg me every Saturday night to make him pasta. But I fell in love with the industry. It wasn't necessarily because of a lack of good food. It was just, it was a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
It still is. And it's very creative.
Yeah.
Especially in the world I'm in now,
right,
with the healthy food. It's a lot of, I can't have this or shouldn't have this. And we find alternatives for everything.
For everything these days.
Yeah.
There's flour from coconut, from almonds, there's everything of everything.
Yeah.
I'm guessing life of your clients, like, if I got a portion of food, like, I feel like their life is so much easier because they don't need to think about it, you know? Right. Like, they just go to the fridge, it's all portioned out, it's all with the perfect amount, like, it seems, exactly. Life seems so easy like that.
It's much easier.
Yeah.
I wish I had that.
Yeah, and you have to hire, like, you know, for yourself.
Yeah.
A mini Sarah Black Charm and Judy.
Yeah.
But
it's really great, and it's very comforting. Also, like, we have our minds tricking us. And a lot of our clients who are in it, some of them are in it for weight loss.
Yeah, I could imagine.
For health reasons and whatever it is, or diabetes,
right.
Or, you know. And I've learned to tell them on the initial Zoom call, you know, like, we encourage feedback. We encourage feedback all the time on the quality, mm-hmm. on the quantity.
Yeah.
But it's also, it gives an inspiration, because we don't feed our clients all of the meals of the week. It's not cheap.
Right. Also, not only is it not cheap, also it's hard to keep food for that long.
Right. And it does get overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So if I had a client that said, feed me all of the meals of the week, I would say no.
Okay.
Because it gets so overwhelming to see our food, and it's like,
right.
it gets exhausting.
What's, like, the average of, like, how much you would recommend, or the average that they order at a time?
So we have clients that stick with the 5 lunches and 5 dinners, and that's like the largest. We have also the middle, which is also a good middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 4 dinners a week,
okay.
or 2 lunches and 3 dinners, something like that. And it's it works well.
Right.
And also, again, depends on the budget.
Right.
But what I was going to say, that this is what I tell the clients. When you see the portions, it may look to you like it's not enough.
Mm.
Because we eat with our eyes,
mm-hmm.
but our minds trick us. And when we know that this was portioned for us, especially for us, according to what we need and what we like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our clients got it, and they were like, oh my God, I'm full. I'm
so
happy. Like, so how does this work? I would never portion to myself that small amount.
I'm guessing,
and
you know,
it's
the
not
right
a
amount.
Small amount. It's just balanced,
right?
It's balanced properly. So
I'm guessing you can calculate the amount from, like, how much they weigh and how much they want to lose or what they want, right?
And it's according to fats, protein, vegetables,
right? I remember you told me that ideally it's like, if you have a plate, half of it is vegged, and then a quarter of it is carbs, and then protein.
Right.
Yeah. So it seems really balanced out. It's interesting. You know, I was speaking with an intuitive eater, eating coach, actually, Hannah Gantz, a few weeks ago. And she was telling me how her theory is that she doesn't measure food. She doesn't think about it too much. She just eats whatever she feels, and she's intuitive about it. And then I was really thinking about it, like, I don't think that style is a style for me, because if I do that, I could just go on, oh, I really want this cake, and, like, I really just want this here and there, and then it just seems to me like one big blob. But the people that I personally know who really manage to lose the most weight and really get on top of their weights are people that exactly eat exact amounts, and they eat them at exact times.
Right.
Would you say that that's true also with your clients?
I would say it's true with our clients, but most of our clients are not in it for weight loss.
So interesting.
Only.
Yeah.
But we do have some clients that are in it for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the consistency
mm-hmm.
of the meals and their food journaling. We
mm-hmm.
have the food journaling on the WhatsApp group helps.
Wow.
And our recommendation is, don't weigh yourself every day. Weigh yourself once a week, or at the most twice a week. Don't weigh yourself after Shabbat.
Yes.
And just don't give up.
Yeah.
You have the right guidance, and you know, you forgive yourself for accidents happen.
Yeah.
And just get the right guidance.
Yeah.
Not every program works for everyone. You know, I've heard a lot of different weight loss programs. Some
right.
of them are very strict.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that approach. We have a very holistic approach. It's very individual.
Yeah. I think it's so beautiful, the service that you're doing for people and making so many families' lives easier. And I love it that you love doing what you do.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, so what if someone wanted to try food prepping for themselves at home? I used to do food prepping for a while and when I was single, and it made my life a whole lot easier. But something that I always struggled with is storing the food in a way that it doesn't go bad. Because
right.
there's nothing worse than the feeling of like, yes, I prepped all my food, but now I'm going to the fridge and like, it's not as fresh as I would like it to be. You know, it's been in the fridge for like 4 or 5 days. How would
right.
you go about it?
So which type of food are you talking about?
Let's say I made myself like rice, a stir fry with maybe coconut cream, zucchini, and maybe like a salad. Like salads, I would always leave out the salad dressing so it doesn't get
right.
soggy. But like, what with the others? What's the maximum amount of time that you would leave foods before, like, you know, how do you do it?
5 days.
5 days?
Yeah. Unless you want to freeze it, which is something else.
Right.
Not everything is freezable friendly.
Yeah. Like salads, you can't freeze.
Like salads, right.
Yeah.
But soups are very freezable friendly. Mm. Things like beans and legumes, and chili, things like that are very, very freezable friendly.
Yeah.
But salads, even less than 5 days.
Right, yeah, salad, I think like it, for me, a day,
yeah.
you know, salad, because
yeah.
the vegetable, also the second you cut a vegetable, it starts oxidizing.
Right.
So it loses its nutritional benefit.
Correct. So, yeah, we also make juices and we do recommend consuming them
yeah.
on the same day.
Wow.
And, you know, smoothies are good to be frozen, so
mm-hmm.
take it out an hour or two before you're ready to have
mm-hmm.
it and enjoy it whenever.
Wow.
So, yeah, I would say, you know, with food prep, I would go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
There are busy people out there. What I would do is not prepare all the food to be done in one day,
mm-hmm.
but prepare the mise en place, like the preparing
right.
of it, like cut up all the onions and all of the carrots
yeah.
and store them in like a container. And then
right.
when you're ready or cook the beans and then store it in a separate container in the refrigerator. And then
right.
when you're ready to put together your salad
right.
or your dish,
yeah.
you have everything just, you know,
yeah,
you took care of yourself. It's like,
yeah.
it's a nice feeling and it'll stay fresh. And
right.
good.
You reminded me of like preparing for the cleaning man, like cleaning
yeah.
up for the cleaning man, you know,
yeah.
so it's easier for him to do his job.
Yeah.
So it's the same also with food. Like, I guess when everything is separated, then it's easier for it to keep in the fridge.
Right.
Like, for example, this week I made quinoa and I just put it in a container. And then when I made a salad, I took some of the quinoa with the salad. And then, you know, with my husband's lunch also, with some with the chicken. Like, it's like
right.
these foods that are very staple foods that you could just, like, pack into any other type of meal.
Right, exactly. And then you put it together.
Yeah. What's the benefit of weighing the meals?
The benefit of weighing the meals, I'm not the nutritionist.
Okay.
It's really, it's according to, it's just very specific.
Yeah.
So we have one client who has, what is it called? Some kind of condition, and he has to limit his amount of protein that
mm.
he consumes. So we have to weigh it. It can't be over 30 grams or
Whoa.
40 grams,
mm-hmm.
which is not a lot, for example. But also for weight loss purposes.
Yeah.
We have another client who has a thyroid issue and has a lot of other issues, and she's on a keto diet, and it's a very modified keto diet, also for mental reasons. Wow. So she actually needs a certain amount of protein, so we have to weigh it.
Wow.
And that's, it's just, it's specific individual weighing, and not always do you need to do that.
Right. Right. I guess when people really do reach nutritional limitations, then they need to.
Yeah.
I'm guessing also the people that come to you have been through so much in life that they're like, that's it. I'm hiring this health eat. This health eat, and I'm getting myself my life in control. You know, like, I feel like, because like the average person, especially in Israel, I feel, is just like, yeah, you go, you eat, carry on with life. Like, but it's rare, for me, it's rare that I see people who really put like so much focus on the details and the grams and how much.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would just say what goes with color goes with taste.
Yeah.
Especially with fruits and vegetables and yeah. fresh produce.
Yeah.
But it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. And if you decide to go into it, then we all have our little sins, but it needs a certain amount of commitment or a very good reason to go into it. And a very good reason is just, I want to live a better life.
Yeah.
So that would be my recommendation. We're happy to help.
Yeah, of course. What does this dream job look like for you on a daily basis?
I have an amazing staff, and that starts with that. We are looking for a delivery person right now.
Okay.
Since the war broke out, we had someone, mm-hmm. but we didn't have enough work, and then he found another job, so we sent him love and success.
Okay.
We are looking for a delivery person at this point. But I have an amazing staff and amazing clients, and we're learning from them, and they're coming back to Israel. We're inspired by each and every one, and we're learning from them, and we're feeding them.
Yeah,
so
that's the best. When someone's well fed, they're also happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I see it on my kids. I see it on myself.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. It's like Rachel in the war. You know, she fed the terrorists and she saved her own life.
Right.
Yeah. So food is really powerful. And so how can people find you?
People could find me in Efrat, but on our website. health-eat.com, and my WhatsApp number is there.
Yeah,
all the information is there, both in English and in Hebrew. It's very clear, and we're happy to hear from everyone.
Yeah. And what's one last note you would end off, or something you can tell somebody who is wanting to get back into better nutrition and awareness with themselves, who isn't ready to come right away to hire someone, but wants within their own life to start implementing that service more? What can you tell them?
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And see what works for you. Don't listen to anyone else. Just listen to your own.
To your intuition.
Self. Yes.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you're ready and you feel like you want to try it and see how you feel, that's okay. It's just, you deserve to take care of yourself.
Yeah, to be willing to take one step and just one step in the direction of health and healthy nutrition.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I love that.
So when we built a house a few years ago, and at first I was like, I want everything to be perfect, and I want everything to be detailed. And a friend of mine said, you know, you have your whole lives to design the house and to make changes, move into the house, and then see what you want to do, what you could afford. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I'm comparing it to our bodies. We have our whole lives to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move in and get to know ourselves
better
and see what we need and what we want. and how we feel.
Hmm.
So that's how I'm going to end it.
I like that. Everyone needs to move into their own house.
Yeah.
And then design it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One thing I for sure learned from here is that if you are food prepping, food prep for 5 days max. You can also store everything separately. And of course, you should be enjoying your food. There don't have to be any stigmas of, oh, if this is healthy and oh, if this is kosher. Make your food, enjoy it. And if you have a dream, it might be worth following it because you might end up having your dream job.